You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with the fear of the Lord.
Psalm 111 and verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wow. How about that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning. That's where you start. "Well, God, what do I need to do?" Just fear me. Walk in the fear of the Lord. Also, I want to read Deuteronomy 10th chapter and verse 12 and 13. To this new generation, get ready to start out walking in blessings. This generation, he's repeating the law and preparing for how they're going to come to a place of no lack, no insufficiency, no more struggle, no more limited diet of manna and quail and quail and manna. And you know, some people say they were people of color, so people of color mix it together. So occasionally they have some manna. Okay, I mean, occasionally they have some male and some quanna. That's when you mix the quail and the manna together. Okay, anyway. But now they're going to have pomegranates and olive oil and barley and wheat and water that's flowing out the mountains. Remember, they wanted to go back to Egypt. "Give us water." God said, "You're going to have so much water, more water. It's going to flow out the mountains. It's going to come out the valley. It's going to come out the brooks." But then he tells them, "But this is all God's requirement of you because I'm blessing you like this." Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." Can I tell you, God still requires us to fear him. What the Lord requires of you? But to fear the Lord, the first thing he says, to fear the Lord. And now that word fear, we said, is the Hebrew word yare. Yare. It means moral reverence and respect. God said, "I want you to have a moral reverence and a respect for who I am." But then in that same definition, you also see the word terror and terrified. Okay? In other words, it's saying there is a holy reverence that we have for God, that we recognize his power, that we recognize who he is. And the greatest example I've used about this is fire. Fire is a good thing. Fire is wonderful. It can be pretty. It can warm you. On the other hand, it can burn the house down. And so, likewise, when we think of God, I think the one scripture says our God is a consuming fire. Okay? Oh, this is so good. On one hand, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of the Lord came in like a rushing mighty wind, and cloven tongues appeared unto them like as unto fire. That was a good thing. But then also, fire can also burn a whole nation. And so God says, "I need you to recognize that I'm holy, I'm to be worshipped, I'm to be feared, I'm to be reverenced, but also don't just play with me. Don't toy with me. I'm God. Don't toy with me. Don't play with me." You know, my mother Bailey, she's always saying, "If you play with a dog, you lick your face. Play with a dog, you lick your face." Okay? You know, Pastor Marsha, I got this thing for kids, and we'll be flying on a plane, and I'll see some little cute kid, and he'll be in front of me or something, and I'll make a face to him, and they'll smile, and then, I done greeted you, now turn around and sit down by your mama now. But Pastor Marsha always said, "Now see, you done started." Now the kid looking at me going, "No, I said, okay." She said, "Now, why you even start with these kids? You know they're only going to go too far." Okay? God said, "I'm not to be played with. I'm not a toy." Okay, how many of y'all know? You know, you can keep in that concept of kids. You can play with children, but you got to know when to cut that off. Amen. You ever play with a child because from your position of adult, you say one thing and they think they can say it back to you? You're like, well, no. I said that. You can't say that to me. Okay. You know, so just if you tell your child to shut up, which, you know, we that ain't the best way to say that. But you tell your child, you expect them, no, you shut up. Oh, no. You done gone too far now. There's a line you're crossing here. I'm still the parent. Okay. And I do believe there's some lines we can cross with God where we live in a way and act in a way, conducting ourselves in such a way that's a disrespect to him. So we said the fear of the Lord causes you to want to live by God's principles. The fear of the Lord should cause you to respect God and have respect towards his name. The fear of the Lord will keep you from being what I call a grace abuser. A grace abuser, somebody says, well, I live under grace now. God loves me, and I ain't going to hell for everything, so I can live any kind of life, do any kind of thing. And Paul asked the question in Romans 6, 1 and 2, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin just because grace abounds? Just because God's grace doesn't run out? Does that mean that you just live any kind of way and act any kind of way and treat people any kind of way? He says, God forbid. How shall we who are dead to sin continue to live in it? So, grace abusers are saved, but you disrespect and dishonor God and you toy with God. I said this also, that grace abusers are satisfied or content with living under the tolerance of God versus the approval of God. I don't want to live under what God tolerates. Come on, I want his best, okay? You know, years ago, I would grow up and I would hear in the church about the permissive will and the perfect will of God. The divine will means the perfect will and the permissive will. And they would always use this as an example, that God told his people he didn't want them to have a king. But they insist they want to have a king and be like other nations. And God forewarned them, if you have a king, he's going to abuse you. He's going to tax you. He's going to potentially oppress you. He's going to bring judgment on the nation. But they still want the king. And so they said the permissive will of the fact. God said, okay, you can have it. But can I tell you this? And so I don't really believe that there's permissive will and there's the perfect will. There's the will of God, period. You're either in the will or you're not. Now watch this. Because God's a God of grace, there's certain things he has no choice, but you know, he will tolerate it to the degree that, okay, you're going to do what you're going to do. And it's like you saying, just because my mom or my daddy won't abuse me or cut me off or kick me out the house, then I can do anything in the house because they ain't going to like it, but they ain't going to do nothing. How many of y'all know that's disrespect? And I believe when we don't walk in the fear of God, we can live and act in ways that simply, it's just disrespectful to God. It's just disrespectful. So when you fear the Lord, you're conscious of his presence. An example I keep using, some of us, even if you do cuss, you won't cuss around your mama, or you won't cuss around your grandparents, or some of y'all, you won't cuss around me because you're conscious in some type of way that would be disrespectful to me. And yet we go through life not conscious of God's presence because he's with us always, even when your mother, your father, your pastor, and your grandmama's not around. God's still there. Are you conscious of respecting him every day of your life the way you would if your mother was right there? Or even your child was right there. So when you live in the fear of the Lord, you're conscious of his presence. Because God's looking for somebody to bless. And the Bible said that the eyes of the Lord, according to 2 Chronicles 16 and 9, it go to and fro throughout the whole earth. And he wants to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. Not who cross all the T's, dot the I, but I have a heart to please God. I have a heart to be conscious of your presence. He wants to show himself strong. So to fear the Lord, it makes you want to please God, like Joseph did.
Example I use, Joseph comes, you know, Mrs. Potiphar comes to my lie with me. He said, I can't do this. First of all, you're somebody else's wife. Secondly, your husband trusts me. But third and most importantly, I can't do this wickedness and sin against God. He said, even if I got away with it, even if you don't care that you was wife, even if your husband never found out about it, I still got an answer to God. That is enough to keep me. It's not about whether somebody's going to find out about it. It's not whether you're going to allow me to do it. It's that I'm going to have to answer to God. So that was the case with Joseph. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. Hunt your neighbor and say, he's still reviewing. He's still reviewing. Some of y'all don't know I'm reviewing because it's your first time here in the month. So you don't know I'm reviewing. So because you don't come all the time, I got to review and catch you up. Because y'all know this ain't a church where I just give you a good service every Sunday and we just jump and shout that. I'm trying to build on something. We're trying to go somewhere. This is a curriculum. It's a curriculum. You can't just jump in the middle. You got to follow it along. Okay, so that's why I spend time in the first couple reviewing the points that I've made. And so like Joseph, Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because no man that wars entangles himself in the affairs of this life. Okay, at wartime, you don't stay at home and then fly to Iraq every day. At wartime, you don't come home and then every weekend and then go to Iraq during the week. No, at wartime, you need to be totally immersed in the war. And so that's what we mean. No man that wars and taking himself with the affairs of this life or civilian life, here we go, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Paul says we're soldiers in God's army, and it ought to be our priority to please him. That verse from 2 Timothy 2 and 4, New Living Translation says, soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted him. Rhetorical question. Do you live your life so you can please God? Or do you live your life based upon what you can get away with and what people find out about and how bad the consequences may be? Or do you live your life to please the Father? And can I tell you, this is a whole nother level of Christianity today. It really is, because nobody's talking this. Everybody teaches so much about is what I'm calling extreme grace. And the reason why I say extreme grace, first of all, grace has been around since the Old Testament. Amen. Ain't no new revelation on grace. It's in the Word. It's always been in the Word. Okay? The fact that Jesus loves us, he died for our sins, and God punished Jesus for our sins, so we will not be punished for our sins in terms of the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is what? Is death. Okay? You won't eternally die. You won't go to hell once you accept Jesus Christ. But can I tell you something? Natural or spiritual, every choice has consequences. Come on now. To every response, there's a to every action, there's a reaction. Your life right now, good or bad, represent the consequences, good or bad, or maybe I should say consequences or rewards of your decisions. Amen. I can talk about this belly all day long. This is a result of my decisions. This is a result of my decision to eat the whole bag of cheese doodles while I'm watching one episode of Empire versus stretching it out over three. Come on now. See, I'm making y'all laugh, so go down a little easier. You're laughing. You too. Everything you are, it's resulted. This is a result of me every day when I go get dressed, going downstairs and running past my exercise room into my closet. Then I run back past it. Every now and then I look in there, I think one of those machines calling me, I said, that's the devil. This is all to me not using my my rower. I was doing fine. I bought a new rower at the beginning of this year. I was doing fine with my rower. It was real good. I was regularly working on it, and I'm sitting there one day just rowing, and Pastor Marshall looked at me. He said, don't you get bored doing that? Now, why she got to say that? I was fine. He said, don't you just get bored? Don't you get bored? I said, yeah, sure I am. I'm bored. Let me go do something else. And I've been doing something else ever since. Consequences. Okay? Wherever you are in life right now, it's results, rewards, or consequence of your decisions. Finances. Amen. It's result of how you spent your money, how you didn't spend your money, whether you saved, whether you charged. Come on. Everything is a result of our decision. If you're not making any money now, you captain your career, it's a result of how far you decided to pursue certain things. Amen. I don't say that to make anybody feel bad. I say that to empower you. The reason why that empowers you, because if this is a result of my decision, then I can make different decisions and get up out of this. See, as long as it's everybody else's fault, I got to wait on somebody else. But once I realize it's my decision, oh, that empowers me to make better decisions. Amen. That's why I came along at a time as a young man. You understand? Some of your a lot of people heard about the Newark riots. The Newark riots. That was Pastor Marshall's city. They was over there just carrying on, right across the water from Jersey City. Okay, but I mean, like Newark is 10 minutes away from my hometown. They was over there carrying on, burning down the city. Okay, and so we lived at a time of revolution and power to the people, and everybody blaming the man. The man is holding you back. We got to work harder and work smarter. We're the last hot. My mother said to me all the time. That's why I remember. My mother said, "We're the last hired and the first fired." Talking about African Americans, we're the last hired and the first fired. Now, if you go around believing that, well, where does the favor of God kick in? Are you going to believe you're the last hired or the first fired? Or are you going to believe I walk in the favor of God? Guess what? And the last will be first and the first will be last. And God, and promotion doesn't come from man, but promotion comes from the Lord. The heart of the king is in there. Come on. See, so then I got empowered when I realized I can make my own way prosperous. I got empowered when I realized the racist can't hinder me. Oh, man. Now, what I know everybody don't know this. So that doesn't mean I don't care about people who don't know the word. I got to teach the word, but I also got to empower you to know you can't change every racist. You can't change every sexist. You have no authority over these executive orders that the president may sign that don't benefit you. But you got control over how much you gonna apply this word. You got control over how much you gonna believe God. So this is what I believe. I believe nobody can stand before me all the days of my life. Y'all ain't hearing me here. I believe I can, according to Joshua 1 and 8, I can meditate on this word and I can make my way prosperous. I can make my way prosperous. Glory to God. And he says, and no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Look and say, nobody can stop me. You can't touch this. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Glory to God. Ain't no stopping us now. We on the move. Yes, that's what Jane Cleveland said. Kirk Franklin, one of them, Fred Hammond. There ain't no stopping me. I can stay right there and preach the rest of the message on this. Because, see, I'm looking at some of y'all, and some of y'all still talking about the man. You the man. And even Michael Jackson, one day he took off his wig, he took off all his makeup, and he said, I'm looking at the man in the mirror. He had to do that first, otherwise he wouldn't see the man in the mirror. He gets ready to take the wig off, take all the makeup. Then he can look at the man in the mirror. Otherwise, he sees somebody else in the mirror. At some point, you got to look at the man in the mirror. Are you following me? I'm a person. I take responsibility for my own life. That doesn't mean that I'm ignorant to racism or all these other isms, or realize there won't be people don't like you and all that. That doesn't mean I'm aware of all that. But I also know I walk in the favor of God. Hallelujah. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Greater is he that's in me than he that... see, some of y'all, you quote this stuff, but you don't believe that. There's no way I could have gotten as far as I did when I lived in Maine. When I lived in Maine, the African-American population... Let me see, was we African-American yet? I don't think we was African-American yet. I think we were still black. I think we became African-American around 1990 or something like that. How many of y'all colored? How many of y'all black? How many of y'all Afro-American? And how many of y'all African-American? So we lived in Maine. Watch this. Literally, I could go a whole week and never see another person of color. I didn't say a black person. I said a person of color. That's Asian. That's Hispanic. Anybody else? So suppose I said, "Well, don't look like it. None of us are working there." Well, somebody got to be the first one. Come on, somebody that opened up this door might as well be. Well, they ain't never had nobody look like us. Well, praise God. Somebody got to be the first one. No one's ever. Well, I can be first. Would you look at your neighbor and say, "You can be first. You can be first." Glory to God. You can be first means you can be a barrier breaker. Hallelujah. I remember when I can't really say that I thought that we're going to be a mega church, but we were with Pastor Dollar, the minister's conference, and he prayed for us and laid hands on us. He said, go back and change your city and be a barrier breaker. He said, I don't care if no ministry in your city ever did such and such. You be the first one. Then he said, have such an effective ministry that if your ministry was shut down, the whole city would be begging for it. So I made up my mind, we're gonna be barrier breakers. And so even though South Carolina specifically and the South generally and Columbia even specifically, they said it's very rooted in denominational churches. That means you got to be Baptist or Methodist, okay? And, the word churches, the independent churches. Years ago when they had Cokesbury down the street, Cokesbury is, some of y'all didn't know, Cokesbury was the United Methodist bookstore, okay? And so, I went in there to get some church supplies, and the guy said to me, he said he saw I had a Right Direction check or signed Right Direction or something. He said, are you the angel of that house? Those you don't know, that's religious talk. That means you're the pastor of that church. Are you the angel of that house? I said, yeah. He said, I've seen that place. What's going on? What y'all doing in there? He said, I've seen that place. That went down on River Drive. And it said, Right Direction Christian Center. He said, what y'all doing there? I said, all these cars. I said, we're a church. I'm the angel of the house. What y'all? Well, no, his mind. Because it said Christian Center. He didn't understand a Christian Center was a church. Okay, that's in part why we changed our name. Okay, Right Direction. Oh, y'all church. It's a center. You know, I didn't know what y'all doing on there at the center. They may think the center is the hall.
When we have reverential fear of God, we'll do right because it's right. We shouldn't fear God because of punishment, but because we love Him and want to abide by His principles. Dr. Herbert Bailey calls us back to a place of respect and fear of the Lord. Order this powerful message today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for The Fear of the Lord.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.